Okay. First of all, quick hakdama. The shiur is based, bathroom on the Pirush HaGra on the Gila, as I was makabel it from my Rebbeim. What's so special about the Pirush HaGra on the Gila is as follows. The Machlaikis Megmar Megillah. The Machlaikis Megmar Megillah. How much of the Megillah has to be read in what is the Yaitzeh, the Chiyuv? Four different days. What's the Machlaikis of the air? We know that the Megillah is meant to be Mephash in the Nest, Persumi Nisa. So, apparently, we want to read what parts of the Megillah are Mephash in the Nest. The most obvious part would be, let's see, from the sixth parak when Ahasuerus loses his sleep. And then he decides Purim to get his diary read, and he finds out that Mordechai had saved his life. So that's an obvious point of the Nes. But there's a Dea, and this is the Mandom we paskin like, that from the beginning of the Megillah, from Mamash, the beginning of Parak Aleph, you have to read in order to be Yaitzi. If so, that means that you have to be able to see the Nes already from the beginning of the Megillah. So that's what the Pirush HaGra helps us do. He shows us Mamish from the very beginning with Ahasuerus and his feasts and Vashti and gets rid of Vashti. We L'chaira, what Nisan do we find in those episodes? That's what the Gra helps us do. Over the course of the whole Megillah, the Gra is going to show us how the Megillah is a beautiful tapestry of Hashkocha Pratis and how Hashem brings together the different people involved, Ahasuerus and Haman and Vashti, and all of them have their own different agendas and how they're all acting based on their own, they have their own plans and how those people interact with each other. And it's a mordekus pasha to study in the psychology of all these characters. And we'll see how everything fits together into a beautiful story of Hashkoch and Nisim. So with that we'll start. Bahibi Me'achashverish. Hu Achashverish HaMoylech Me'odu Vad Kush Shevev Esrum HaMe'a Medina. Achashverish is the king of the whole world, Gemara says. And just some brief historical background. This is around the Tekufa, toward the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. Klal Yisrael were engulfed by Bavel. And then after about 70 years, Bavel is overthrown by an alliance of Daryavish, king of Madai, and Kairesh, king of Paras. They get together, they overthrow Bavel, and they become the new world empire, the Persian Empire. That was the beginning of the Persian Empire. Koresh allowed the Jews at first to return to Eretz Yisrael to build the Bayis Sheni. But at a certain point, he was pressured by the Goyim to stop. So they had to stop in the middle of the Binyan Abayis. Ahasuerus, he becomes the king. Why did Ahasuerus become the king? As we'll see, that he was not of royal stock. He wasn't the son of the Melech. He was voted in to power. He bribed the right people. He had money. He got himself in, whatever, and he became the king. So Ahasuerus was an anti-Semite. He also did not allow the Jews to build the second Beis HaMikdash. So he is the king involved with the Nes. And that already is going to say a lot about the background of the Nes, because imagine if Chas V'Shalom, the whole world were in the dominion of an anti-Semite. And in that context, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a tremendous Nes for the Jews. I mean, it shows you how great the Nes was. Ahasuerus is the king of the world. Bayom Mohaim, Kesheves HaMelech Ahasuerus Al Kisei Malchus HaYashem B'Shushan Abira. He sits on the throne which is in Shushan Abira. Now, I promised you we're going to see Nisim from the beginning of the Megillah. So in order to do that, we have to understand the background of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus, as we said, he is not of royal stock. He's not a melech. What was his background? He was a Shomer HaSusim, the stable master of the kings of Bavel. That's his claim to fame. Could you imagine the king coming from such a background? Well, Ahasuerus, he's all too aware of his own background, and he's very self-conscious about it. He's paranoid. He has a complex that people throughout the entire world are not going to take him seriously. Imagine, you know, in the press, King Stable Master the First, you know, not going to take him seriously. So Achashverosh, he wants to do a whole bunch of acts to ensure that people respect him as the king. The first thing he does is he marries a woman by the name of Vashti. Vashti is the daughter, is the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, so she was of royal stock, and if he's married to royalty, so by implication, the Chazal think he's also a hot shot. That's the first thing he does. The second thing he does is he wants to be able to acquire and sit upon the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. What was so special about the throne of Shlomo HaMelech? Shlomo HaMelech's throne, Chazal tell us, had a chiyus to it, a ruchnius to it. It had carvings of live animals, and these live animals were literally alive, to the point of they actually helped Shlomo HaMelech sit on the throne. And anyone who was not worthy to be on the throne, those wild animals would make sure that he wouldn't touch the throne. Nebuchadnezzar, when he went around and conquered the world, and he captured this throne of Shlomo HaMelech, he tried to sit on it, and the animals made, you know, quick work of him. He couldn't sit on the throne. What? No. One of the Egyptian pharaohs also tried to sit on the throne, and the animals threw him off, and that's why he's known as Paro Neche. He became Paro the cripple. So Achashverosh figures, if I could sit on this throne, people are going to certainly think of me as worthy of Malchus. On the other hand, he says, you know, I'm not stupid either. Look what happened to my predecessors. They tried to sit on the throne, didn't work. It's probably not going to work with me either. But you know what? I have a great idea. I'm going to make a replica of this throne. And if I can sit on the replica, what if people know already? They'll think it's Shlomo HaMelech's throne, and they'll say, Gevaldik, Achashverosh, you're the man, you're the king. Gevaldik, all hail King Achashverosh, worthy of being king. So Achashverosh tries to find some artisans who were able to make this throne. But in Babel, which is where the Malchus was at the time, there was no Shushan yet. When Parasumwade overthrew Babel, they kept the Malchus in Babel. There was no reason to move it. So he asks around in Babel, that's where the capital was, can anyone reproduce this throne of Shlomo HaMelech? And he couldn't find anyone. He starts to send secret messages throughout the entire kingdom. Can anyone reproduce the throne? I'll pay him handsomely. And he's able to find, gratis, some artisans who are able to do the job. Those artisans are located in none other than a city that no one has heard of till now called Shushan. He makes up with those artisans. They're going to make this kisei for him. And in 3 years' time, they complete it. Achashverosh goes down to Shushan, he sees the throne, he's very pleased, he pays them. He says, okay boys, very nice, let's ship it, wrap it up, let's bring it to Babel. It's not going anywhere, because this thing weighs tons, it's dead weight. You see, the real Shlomo HaMelech's throne, you're able to move it from place to place, because it was alive, it had life to it. Chai noises atzmai. But this replica was nothing but dead weight, it's not going anywhere. Achashverosh is desperate. Oy vey, I spent all this time and effort to get this throne. What's going to be? So Hashem puts an idea in this way. We're going to see this kind of hashgacha throughout the Megillah. Hashem puts ideas into people's minds and they act on it. That's what the Gra called Atzas Hashem. So Hashem puts an idea into Achashverosh's head. You know what I'm going to do? If I can't have the throne come to Babel, I am going to the throne. Shushan is in Paras, the city in Paras. So what Achashverosh does is he decides the entire kingdom, the entire capital rather, the palace, we're moving everything to Shushan. And overnight, Shushan becomes the new capital city. And he makes up a story about, you know, why he has to move to Shushan, defense reasons. He makes up some reason for the Hamonam. But now he comes to Shushan, and that's where his throne is. And the Gros says that's what's meduik in this pasuk. Kishem samalach ha-chashverish al-kisei malchusoi asher b'shushan habiro. The Gros meduik. Why does he have to say asher b'shushan habiro? Where else is the king's throne going to be if not in the capital city? The teretz is, it's telling you that the whole point here is this kisei, which was in Shushan. And that's why he in fact made the whole biro. He made the capital Shushan in the first place. The pasuk is emphasizing the kisei. But now that we've said the story about the kisei, we have to ask why. Why did Hashem engineer all of this? That Ahasuerus, he has a complex and he has to have his kisei and he has moved everything to Shushan. What's this all about? This is the first nest of the Megillah. As we'll see, a famous pasuk later, Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Birai Ushmoi Mordechai, etc. Mordechai and Esther, they live in Shushan. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that there was going to be a Gzeira, Chas V'Shalom, Lahashmig, Laharog, Laabed, and he knew that Mordechai and Esther are going to be the tzaddikim instrumental in bringing about Yeshua. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a cheshbon. Do you think I'm going to take those two tzaddikim and make them schlep to Bavel? No. Let Ahasuerus, he is going to schlep to Shushan. I'm not going to make the tzaddikim move just so they could be around in the right place to make Yeshua. Let Ahasuerus, he's going to pick himself up and go. How is Hashem going to arrange that? So Ahasuerus, he has his background. He's a stable master. And he has a complex. No one's going to like me. No one's going to think me of a king. So I have to have this kisei, and because I can't find artisans to find the kisei, I have to go to Shushan, and I can't move the kisei to Yar, so I have to move the whole Malchus to Shushan. All that is just so that Mordechai and Esther will already be in place, ready to make Yeshua. This is an unbelievable zach. The Kodesh Baruch, even when he's making Gezerah on Klal Yisrael, he makes sure he does it in a way to show his love for Klal Yisrael, that let the Rishar move to the tzaddikim of the Ikkar. A beautiful zach we see about already from the beginning. But Ahasuerus is not satisfied with this alone. He's not satisfied with just his throne. He has to start impressing every person in the kingdom, every important person, every nobleman, governor, mayor, whatever. They have to be convinced that he's the king, so that he'll have his loyalty. They won't try to rebel. They'll be in awe of him. So what does Ahasuerus do? Pasuk Gimel. B'shnas Shalosh L'Malcho. In the third year of his reign. Why the third year? Simple. It took 3 years for them to make this kisei. He wants to make sure everyone sees him on this kisei. That's why he makes sure he waits 3 years. Asa Mishneh. He makes a party. L'chol Sarav Avodov. For all of his important ministers and servants. Chel Pasuk Modai. The entire military. Apart from him, the governors, the mayors, the local rulers, the Sar Medinas Lefanov, and the other Sarim throughout the kingdom. What's the point of these parties? So some more background. Nebuchadnezzar, when he was going about conquering the entire world, he had amassed 1,080 Eitzreis, treasures. 1,080 huge rooms filled with priceless treasures. When we mean priceless treasures, by the way, we don't just mean, you know, say chests full of gold coins. We mean ancient artifacts that date back from a dynasty's, you know, early days, ornately handcrafted artifacts of face of us from King Fatsuntatsun I of the dynasty. The Nebuchadnezzar plunders all of these treasures and he puts them into 1,080 huge rooms. Over time, Ahasuerus eventually yarshins those 1,080 Eitzris. So he wants to show them off to all of the Sarim. And he wants to make sure they see every single one. He wants them to be swearing at the end, Ahasuerus, wow, you have all this wealth, you must be worthy of being king. The problem is, he can only show six of them on any given day because these rooms were so huge. So, let's do the math. How long does it take to show 1,080 Eitz rice at the rate of 6 a day, 1,080 divided by 6 is 180. Now we understand the next pasuk. Beharaisai, meaning why is Achashverosh making these parties for all the important people of the Malchus, is to show off as Oisher, let's count the terms here, Oisher, that's 1, Kivoid, 2, Malchusai, 3, Vyasyakar, 4, Tiferes, 5, Gdulaso, 6. That's Meramis to the 6. Oitzreis, he can only show them on a given day. So it has to be Yomim Rabim, the whole party has to be for many, many days. Shmayim Umas Yom, 180 days. That's half a year, Rabbi Sai. I mean, imagine the Meshugas of Achashverosh for half a year. He's entertaining every single duke, governor, earl, whatever, of the Kfari kingdom. He wants to make sure they see every single Oitzreis. That by the end, they'll be saying, yes, Achashverosh, you're definitely worthy of the king. No one was ever as worthy as you. And, that's what Achashverosh wants. And he's still not satisfied. Could you believe it? After those 180 days, he's not finished. He still has one more trick. But as we'll see, Hashem is leading him into a point in which we're going to have to get rid of Vashti somehow. Because as we know, Esther is going to become the queen. Esther's becoming the queen is going to be in order so that she should be able to plead on behalf of the Jews when the Gzera comes. So how are we going to get rid of Vashti? That's what we're going to see. See, Vashti, Achashverosh doesn't want to get rid of Vashti. Vashti is the granddaughter of the king. He knows quite well that through Vashti, that's how people will consider him a melech, because he's married to a malka. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has other plans. When those days came to an end, 180 days, so Asa Melech, a new set of parties he's making. L'chol ha'am ha'nimsim v'shusha biro. Let me go down that katan. This party is going to be for every single citizen in the city of Shushan, big or small. That means every bum and every derelict. Could you imagine in the White House, you know, that they're going to bring every bum and drug addict in Washington, D.C. into the White House for a party? But this is what Achashverosh wants to do. Shivas Yomim, Mishta Shivas Yomim, it's a 7-day party. B'chatzar Ginas Bisan HaMelech, he puts it in the outdoors so that everyone will fit. And as we'll see, the point of these parties is going to be a lasos kitzoin ish v'ish. Why is he intent on winning over every citizen of Shushan? Bishlama, every single minister throughout the world, he wants them to show respect. Achashverosh, they should realize he's worthy of being king. But what's his game plan with every citizen of Shushan? So he wants that every person in Shushan should love and adore the king. Why? Because that way they'll inform him of any assassination plot against the king. After all, where would an assassination plot against the king begin? The capital city in Shushan. And indeed we'll see with Big Son of Seresh. It was in Shushan. So if he has everyone's adoration throughout Shushan, they'll want to tell the king, oh, Achashverosh, he's planning to kill you. So how do you get all the citizens of Shushan to love and adore the king? So he's going to come up with a 7-day feast, which is based on lasos kitzon ish v'ish. This is unheard of, that a king should do such a thing. He wants every single citizen to have every single wish that he has performed during that 7 days. Unbelievable. And he's going to treat them so with such royalty, everyone's going to feel so important. So Himamish redoes the palace. That's next pasuk. Listen to the decor that he puts into these parties. Chur karpas uschelus. This is a description of various drapery. Ochus b'chav levutz v'argomon. That's how they're suspended on various fine cords. Agalile chesef u'mudeshesh. Those are the pillars. Mitoy zol v'chesef. Beds. Why do you need beds? We were learning in Brachas Bemis that in those days, how did they used to dine? By reclining on couches. That's what these couches are referring to. Solid gold and silver. Every bum he gets, at the very least, a solid silver bed to recline on. Unbelievable. Al ritzbas bat b'sheish v'dar v'chars. He redoes the entire flooring with precious jewels. Everyone's stepping on rubies and emeralds. That's why he wants everyone to feel like such so grandiose. Ahasuerus feels I'm so important. Wow. And that's how he's getting everyone to admire and love him. Vahashkais bichli zov. And he has everyone drinking out of golden goblets. The chelim kelim shainim. Pasha pshat is that no matter what, how many times you want to drink, it has to be from a different cup. You take a drink, you put it on the table, a waiter has to immediately clear it and bring you a brand new cup. Of course, we know the Chazal, this is explained that this is a reference to the Kalim, the Beis HaMikdash. HaKashresha made a certain cheshbin, that the Theos cheshbin, that the Jews would never come out of Golus, so therefore he was celebrating by bringing out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. The Yain Malchus Rav Kiyar HaMelech, and he had tons of wine. Drinking was kados. What does kados mean? A very strange word. Kados means kadosh shel Torah. Just like when it comes to das Torah, specifically when it comes to karbonos, what do we find? So which is more, the solid food or the liquid? Obviously the solid food. When you bring karbonos, the amount of meat and fats that are put on the mizbech are much more than the liquids, whether dam or the nesachim. So the point is, if we just got through saying that there was tons of wine, so kolshke, and you can imagine, or you can't imagine how much food there was. Kichein yisad hamelech, al kol rav beisoy, this is how the king established, through the heads of his household, lasoyz kitzoyn ish ve'ish, that they should perform all of the need, every single need and every single want of every single person in the world, at the party. So the Gros says, why is the pasuk taking a lot of pains in explaining how gevaldic these parties were? Chas v'shem, such we should desire, you know, such olam hazeh? No. Chazal tell us that yofa koyras ruach, the olam haba, mikol chai olam hazeh, that even a small glimpse, as it were, of olam haba contains more enjoyment than the entire lifetime of pleasure that you could possibly have in olam hazeh. So these psukim are telling us what do we mean by a whole lifetime of pleasure in olam hazeh. You can figure how much royalty and how much decor and how much food and whatever you want could be, you possibly want out of olam hazeh would be at these parties. So we get this glimpse in order to appreciate the Chazal that tells us that even a small drop of olam haba is better, more geshmak than all of that olam hazeh. That's why the pasuk is emphasizing all of this. Now, Achashverosh is making this party Lasas Kitzayin Ish V'Ish. So I'm going to stop soon, but just to introduce what we're going to do tomorrow. He is going to become a victim of his own insane policies. Achashverosh, all the while, he wants to satisfy every single person, and then this is a medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mocks Achashverosh. He says, you know, I can't please every single person. You have Rishayim and you have Tzadikim. I can't satisfy both Rishayim and Tzadikim at the same time. And Achashverosh, here, you want to satisfy everyone. Yeah, let's see how good a job you're going to do. But Achashverosh is going to be a victim of his own policies, and as a result, that's how he's going to have to get rid of Vashti, as we'll see Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. Thank you.